And finally, a word about sports and that thrilling championship matchup. No, it's not the LA Lakers and the Boston Celtics we're talking about. It's in hockey, where the Detroit Red Wings are on the verge of beating the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals. Hockey lovers may feel shut out of the sports chatter this time of year, and as guest commentator Bill Douglas tells us, that's especially true for black hockey fans.
I was at my local barbershop recently, listening to the furious debates about Kobe, King James, not-so-tiny Tim Duncan, and the other stars in the NBA playoffs, when my barber, with a sly smile on his face, asked me, "How's that Ovechkin dude doing?" The other customers stopped talking, lowered their ebonies and jets, and turned to me as if I were about to speak a foreign language, the language of hockey. "The Flyers shut him down pretty good," I said. My barber nodded, but the other customers looked at me as if I had just landed from another world. Can I just tell you, it's not easy being a black hockey fan. This time of year, there's so much to talk about. The Stanley Cup playoffs, the NCAA Frozen Four, the upcoming NHL draft, and no one to talk to. Hockey, my friends tell me, isn't a sport for the brothers. An old comedian once joked that the only black thing on the ice is the puck, and it gets hit with a stick. I try to attack the stereotype. I point out that nearly a dozen black players skated for NHL teams this past season, that a black man, goalie Grant Fuhr, is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, that Jerome Iginla, a black Canadian, once won the NHL scoring title, that a sister from Detroit, Teresa Corriga, is one of the best players in women's college hockey today. If that fails to impress, and it usually does, I tell folks that Snoop Dogg is a huge hockey fan and plans to do a movie about black hockey players, and a recent book traces the roots of modern hockey to an 18th century league formed by the sons and grandsons of American slaves who escaped to Canada. I tell them about my passion for the game that led me to become a player, a goalie, at age 13, much to my parents' chagrin. "You lose your teeth, we're not buying you new ones," my mother warned. But my mouth wasn't the problem. The N-word and other obscenities came from the mouths of some white fans when I played midget and junior hockey back in Philadelphia in the 1970s. I didn't care. I loved the speed, skill, and brutality the game had to offer. And I did have role models. Willie O'Ree, who broke pro hockey's color barrier in 1958, and Herb Carnegie, who had the skill to be the first black player a decade before, but was denied the chance. Today, I don't strap on the pads as much as I'd like to, but I always find time to catch a good game on TV. I paid a small fortune to add the NHL Center Ice package to my cable service, which gave me 45 games during the regular season. I told my wife it was an educational tool. My children now know exactly where Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Ottawa are. Still, I don't get too many games in person. Tickets are hard to come by. But I have hope for the future. A buddy of mine, Thurgood Marshall Jr., was bitten by the playoff bug and plunked down big bucks for Washington Capitals season tickets next season. Black hockey fans, we're a small but growing nation.
Bill Douglas is covering the presidential campaign for the McClatchy newspapers. He's based here in Washington. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.